In the name of the Triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let us thank and pray. Righteous God, dear Heavenly Father, when the fall into sin had taken place in the paradise, you gave the promise to the fallen couple, first humans in this world, that one day you will crush the head of the serpent. And generation after generation waited patiently or impatiently for your promise to be fulfilled. And when the time was fulfilled, you sent your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to be born in the most unexpected way to a poor family. You covered and hid all proofs of human understanding of his deity. But you revealed it unto those who with a sincere and humble heart and the prayerful mind looked for it. Dear God, we have come with humble hearts, with a prayerful mind to hear, and we ask that you would speak unto us through your Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, which takes an effect in your congregation. This is why we came. So we say, please speak. Your servant heareth. Amen. In many houses, you read or have read already the Christmas Gospel, one of the most well-known portions of the Bible. And I will read it to you tonight. In Luke 2, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for I behold you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary, and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Amen. When old Jacob was dying in Egypt, he prophesied of things that will come to pass in the future. And he spoke of Judah, or to Judah, that the lawgiver shall not be taken away from your feet until this happens that we read about. The lot for mankind has always been to trust, to believe, and to hope. Very seldom have we been able to see. These shepherds were lucky or blessed. Mary and Joseph were blessed. And there are people or moments in the Bible that we could call blessed moments, when the people for a moment could see. But oftentimes it happens like it happened to Cleopas and the other disciple who were walking into Emmaus on the third day after Jesus' death. And they were full of sorrow. They were full of doubt. The hopes were gone and they were scared. Bible doesn't say why they were on their way to Emmaus. We know that the disciples later went back to their daily calling to be fishermen. These two were on their way to Emmaus, a little place, was it about 2 hour walk from Jerusalem. And they saw a man who asked an odd question. What are you talking about and you're so sad? And they said, you must be the only foreigner in Jerusalem who does not know what has happened there. It's a revealing answer. You must be the only one, because everybody knows about it. Everybody has talked about it, and for a reason. When Jesus died, there was an earthquake which broke the rocks, the veil of the temple between the most holy and holy got ripped into two. It was a very heavy decorated veil or cloth which hid the most holy from the eyes of humans. And that got ripped into two pieces. But maybe even more scary was that many graves opened. There's a big graveyard right next to the temple area. On the other side, Golgotha is on the western side of the temple area, this huge graveyard, which is in operation still today, is on the eastern side, towards Valley of Kidron. And many graves opened. And the the former saints appeared unto many in the city. So people witnessed them with their own eyes. No wonder why everybody was talking in Jerusalem what had happened. And these odd men asks, what are you talking about? And when they answered, these disciples, with a sincere heart, how troubled, how scared, how confused they were, Jesus said, O ye fools and slow of heart to believe all what the prophets have prophesied. And then he started to speak of the Old Testament, what the prophecies were concerning him, what the prophets had prophesied for hundreds of years. Because God knew that believing people waited for the Savior, and they needed encouragement on their way. Have you felt the same? We need encouragement, time and time again. How many times have you decided, I'll stop doubting? Everything is so clear. Now I see it. Now I understand it. Everything is clear as day. Now I won't doubt anymore, ever. And maybe next day, or the same day, you feel doubts. This is how we are. We're weak. We're slow of heart. Even fools, we understand so little. And when he spoke, those disciples felt how their hearts were glowing in them. They felt so warm, so comfortable. It was a comforting message that felt like it came from heaven. And there it came from. But they did not see, or they didn't perceive Jesus. They did not understand. The Bible says their eyes were held. They were like blinded. Oh, how much we would see if we could see everything around us. Once a prophet was being approached by a neighbor country king. He wanted to kill this prophet. And he sent his army to the city where he was, where this prophet was. And when the prophet's disciple or student woke up next morning, he said, Alas, my master, see, this city is surrounded by an army. And the prophet prayed to God to open his eyes. And God opened this disciple's eyes, and he saw that the hillside was full of fiery army of God, fiery angels and chariots. If we could only see all the beauty, the Bible says that what ear has not heard, what eye has not seen, which has not come into anyone's thoughts, is what God has prepared for those who love Him. And of course, we believe that it is a description of heaven waiting for us. But I think it contains more. It is also a picture of God's congregation. It is a picture of God's kingdom. Nobody outside from God's kingdom can see the beauty of it. You know, many of you know that I'm leaving tonight to Finland for a mission trip. And I'm so thankful that I can leave from here, from my home and from my family. You are my family. And I'm very thankful that I can leave from here. And I again ask that you would pray that God would help and protect and guide, that He would keep His glory It belongs to him. But if possible, he would give those words what the listeners come to hear, what they pray to hear. Because we are slow of heart. We're fools. We have little understanding. And that has to do with those who serve and with those who are being served. We need one another. This is our home, and we need one another's support. And with the eyes of faith, every now and then we can see the glimpse of it. I see before me the messengers of God from heaven who carry the saving word in their mouths and saving faith in their hearts and good and clear understanding of faith in their minds. And I'm thankful for that. Those disciples did not see. They were so downcast with their doubts. They were so worried. But their hearts started burning when Jesus spoke. But then they came to a city or little village, and the evening was falling on them. And we know that at those latitudes, the sun goes down quick, and it was dangerous to continue travel. So there was an inn, and they wanted to go there. But Jesus pretended that he will continue further. And they felt so comfortable and so good when he was present that they asked him that, please come with us. The evening is coming. The day is far spent. Come and dine with us. And Jesus went. Jesus comes unto whoever asks for it. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. Ask, and it shall be given. It is, they are the words for unbelieving people. They are the words for us as well. Bible is full of promises. And God keeps every promise that he has recorded into the Bible. So Jesus came in. And you remember what happened. They had a bread, loaf of bread. And Jesus took. So this stranger, this foreigner, came a host. I don't know, but I'm thinking that the bread was by the disciples, brought by the disciples. But they were not hosts. Jesus was the host. He took the bread. And when he break it, then God opened their eyes to see. God can open the eyes. And actually nobody else can. No one can open their eyes to see. But God can do it. So it's very wise to pray to God that he would do it if it is his good will. And so their eyes were opened. And what did they see? They saw that he was Jesus. They could see it by their own eyes. And it was a fleeting moment. There is a Bible illustration of Raymo Osterberry of that occasion. And one of the disciples is halfway jumping up. And the other is just surprised. And then Jesus disappeared. It was a fleeting moment. Just a short moment. This is God's way. This kingdom is a kingdom of speaking and hearing, not seeing. It is, for some reason, it is not God's good will that we can see we see by faith only. With the eyes of faith we can see. We don't see miracles around us. We see believing people. But we can hear through them a message that frees our hearts and consciences, as it has happened so many times. You have heard God speak many times in your lives. And it is wonderful. It is so comforting. It is like those disciples said, didn't our hearts burn in us when He spoke unto us on the way and explained unto us the Scriptures? That's God's way to operate. Strangers speak. God does not speak here. Only people speak. And only with the eyes of faith we can see God speak. This wait, which had lasted for thousands of years, was now over. There came a day of taxation, at first in the world. Caesar of Rome, took power over this area. So the scepter was taken away from the hand of Judah. The new leaders came. The new rulers came. And those who have power, they tax. I don't think that we are against taxation. We understand that it is important in this world. We need working infrastructure, schools, whatever is being done with taxes. But at that time, it was the first time when the taxation was done in that area. They paid some kind of a tax to the temple, but it was like dues. And they gave what they were able to. Taxation was different. It says, all went to be taxed. Everyone into his own city. It was not volunteer. It was very much obligatory. The whole country was in move. Everybody knew their relationship. Everybody knew, as you know, the Israelites were divided into 13 tribes, or 12, depending how we see it. When the country was divided, the promised land was divided, it was divided into 12 parts. But Levites did not get a piece of land. Levites, meaning the priests, lived what the people gave. They did not own the land. They had some cities where they lived, but they didn't own the land. They did not have farming land. They lived what the people gave. And so when Levites did not get a portion of the land, there was 11 other tribes. But Joseph, he was receiving the portion of a firstborn. You remember how the firstborn in the family received double portion compared to the others. And God gave Joseph two sons in Egypt, Ephraim and Manasseh. And so the land was divided. When the land was divided, all 11 brothers got their portion, and Ephraim and Manasseh, the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh, got their portions. So that's why the country was divided into 12. So if we take Joseph into account, the 13 kind of family lines. And now, this Joseph, of whom we heard to our dear brother last night, who was a believing man, who was chosen by God. God chose him. God did not ask for a permission. God chooses whoever he wants to. God chose Joseph to be the stepfather of Jesus. Previously he had chosen Mary to be the mother of Jesus. And of course, God, being the Lord of history, he allowed love to be kindled between them. God even gives the gift of love into our lives. God gives the spouse. We don't need to look for or try to work hard to find a spouse. God does it. It's God's work. God gave Joseph Mary, and to Mary Joseph. And now, Joseph was in the house of the lineage of David. So, although he had moved and his family had moved far north, it's about maybe 80 miles north, and at that time, there were no, well, there were some kind of roads, but the travel was slow and difficult. You took a donkey or something, or you walked. And so, although Mary was expecting a baby, on her last weeks, they had to go. Everybody had to go. It was very much obligatory. And they went. Like everybody else who were of the family of David, they went to the city of David. David had lived about 1,000 years before, and he bought a piece of land from there, but the most of the land he took with his sword from Jebusites. So, if you go to modern-day Jerusalem, the area south from the temple area is David's city. That's what he took from the Jebusites. And that was his city. It carried his name, David's city. And because Joseph was of this lineage, they had to go. We can only imagine. You sisters know it much better than I. What did it feel like for a lady who was very far in the pregnancy to start traveling for 80 miles in those difficult paths to Bethlehem? Bethlehem is a little south from Jerusalem, not far, maybe 10 miles, something like that. And they traveled. And God, being the Lord of history, he allowed that when they were in Bethlehem, it came time for Mary to give birth to Jesus. And it had to happen that way, because in the book of Micah, hundreds of years before, God had prophesied. God gave the words to Micah. And Micah wrote that, "Thou Bethlehem Ephratah," which was the other name of Bethlehem, "you are not the smallest smallest place, because of you shall come that who is to be born." And again, even in that detail, God hid the facts from the people's eyes, because Joseph and Mary were from Nazareth, and as you remember, Jesus was called Nazarene. Not a Bethlehemite. Jesse was Bethlehemite, David's father. But every detail has to happen according to God's will and wisdom. And so it happened. And so Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And the shepherds were working in the night. Lowly, very poorly paid people in that society which pretty much had almost forgotten that they existed. According to rabbinical law, a shepherd was not allowed to be a witness in the court. His social status was so low. He was not allowed to. If he saw somebody kill someone, it didn't matter. And those lowly shepherds, but one important thing, they were believers. They were allowed to see and witness. Here the angel says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings, a great joy, which shall be to all people." The angel brought the greetings to those shepherds, but the greetings are to all people. And then the angel said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." He was born for those shepherds, because they believed. That's why they were allowed to see, because they believed. Believing is seeing, even today. If you believe, God allows you to see. God is faithful, and He wants you not to forget. But He allows you to see or hear a glimpse here and there, a little bit of something, which keeps our joy or hope alive. And then the angel continued, "And this shall be a sign unto you." That sign was for those who believed. God gives signs for those who believe. And the Bible says that God sends the rich ones empty away, but He gives His grace to the poor and to the humble. God has always sent rich ones empty away. That is the way He operates. He doesn't change. But He also gives and allows the weak and poor ones to see and to hear and to receive and to believe. He gives them all that they need. So that was a sign unto you. And the sign was, "You shall find the baby. And you shall find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." A manger is not a typical place for a newborn baby to lie, we understand. I don't know if there was anything special in those swaddling clothes. I just don't know. Maybe there was something for them at that time. But that was a sign that was given to them. And they found. Everybody who prays to find will find. God allows it to happen. And then they could see the most beautiful sign in their lives. There was a multitude of the heavenly host. The Bible doesn't say how many. Jesus said that in the Garden of Gethsemane, when He was being captured, He said to Peter, who started fighting for Him, Jesus said, "Put your sword away. Whoever takes a sword shall die for a sword. Put it away. We don't need it." If I would pray, God could send more than 12 legions of angels. And a legion was a Roman army department, which consisted about 6,000 men. So 72,000 angels, if God would have sent 72,000 of angels, fiery angels, well, it's a lot. One angel came down from heaven who opened the grave that rolled the stone away when it was time for Jesus to come out from a tomb. Jesus didn't need to open the door. The kings don't open the door for themselves. The angel came to be the door opener. The angel rolled the stone away and Jesus walked out from there. And when the Roman soldiers, whom those high priests sent to protect the grave, fell down like dead men, one angel was enough. Jesus said God could send more than 72,000 angels if I would pray and ask. So we don't know what this multitude was. But one thing I know, that the heavens were full of joy at that day. Heavens were ringing and praising God because the day of the promise had come. Of course we celebrate Christmas. Of course we do. We wish Merry Christmas. We bless one another. Even people from this world wish good wishes in the Christmas time. And it feels like everybody's heart is a little softer, or most people's hearts are a little softer and more sensitive or tender. But we don't understand how significant this was until everything will be opened unto us in heaven. But we believe that the whole heavens were ringing with the praises of God. And these angels were being sent, and they praised God, and they said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." And now those shepherds ran into the city to see. And of course they found. Of course they found. God made them find. Like those wise men from the east, when they followed their own understanding, they went to the wrong place. But immediately, when they heard from the scripture that they should go to Bethlehem, and when they stepped out from the courts of the king, they saw the star again and rejoiced with exceeding great joy when they saw the star again. And the star guided them to the place where Jesus was, and so found these shepherds. So we don't need to doubt if we can find. If there is someone, maybe listening online or here, who ponders, how could I see where God's kingdom is? Pray to God. God will allow you to see. God's majesty cannot accept that somebody would seek in vain. It'd be God's failure if somebody would with a sincere heart look for, pray and seek and would never find. God allows everybody to find who wants to. Who prays to God with a sincere heart. God allows them to see. There's no doubt of that. And so these shepherds saw. And they told what was told to them. They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And it's interesting, it says, all they that heard it wondered at those things. All they. We don't know who are all they. Was it only Joseph and Mary, or were there others there? It's not important for us to know now, but all, it can be a very big word. It can be two. Yes. But it can be more. We don't know, and that's fine. They wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary. Mary was different. And there's a lesson for us. She kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. We do wisely that we would try to keep what we hear and then later ponder them in our hearts. with a prayerful heart. Think about them. Maybe talk about them with our dear ones. What do you think this means? Mary kept all those things. And she had time to think about them because Jesus was over 30 years old until the days came where his whole life was focused at, to this awfully difficult day for the mother of Good Friday. And the shepherds returned. They went back to their work. Life continued as it had been before. But there was a big difference. They glorified and praised God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. It is like after service. Sometimes we go home happy and rejoicing. Sometimes God doesn't open unto us very much. Sometimes He opens us some more. I remember one day in my youth, when it had been about maybe half a year that actually I didn't go to the service bench at all. And I was hanging out with the youth, and it started troubling me. I was very worried about myself. And I prayed to God that God would help me. God heard my prayer, and He gave me the thought that I went, that was the old Olu Arwai in the downtown, where most of the listeners were never able to see the speaker. It was three floors, and only the front side, middle floor, were able to see the minister. It was a different structure. Let's put it that way. And I decided that I want to go to the place where I can see the minister. And I went there and I sat. And it felt like everybody else could have gone away. That sermon was for me. The whole sermon was for me. And I still remember the feeling when the sermon ended and I thanked God because God had spoken to me. He was wonderful. So, these shepherds, when they went back to work, they went their hearts full of joy, hope, and comfort from God. Dear brothers and sisters, this is how God wants us to be also. Full of joy, full of hope, and full with our hearts. Uplift your hearts. My dear friends, brothers and sisters, uplift your hearts and believe all sins forgiven. In the name and blood of this child of this Christmas, Jesus Christ. Be well comforted and be joyful and be thankful to good God for His good gifts. Can I also believe my sins forgiven? I promise to believe like you do. In Jesus' name, Amen. Let us join into the benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. God's peace.